Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Established the Pass podcast, presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Blue Wire. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. We're back here to talk a little betting, because, Dylan, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nothing going on in the NFL right now. Now, look, you know how this is going to unfold. We're starting this episode with the thought that there's nothing happening in the NFL. In about 15 minutes, whenever, you know, we're almost through this episode, there's going to be Aaron Rodgers going to get traded. Something like that. That's just, we know how this works. So we've got our eyes on Schefter and Rappaport. We've got our eyes on the Twitter, just to make sure. But for now, we're going to dive into the betting and specifically looking ahead at the division futures. So who's going to win each of these divisions? We've got the betting odds here from Bet Online. And I think it's going to make for an interesting discussion, gentlemen, because as you look up and down this list, we're going to go through each of them. Not going to spend a lot of time on some in particular, because some seem pretty clear-cut who's going to win these. But there are some interesting races in a couple of different divisions when you look at it from the betting odds standpoint.
Yeah, there's a few divisions that are definitely competitive, and the odds reflect that. Other ones, like you said, that we feel pretty confident about who will win, but maybe not the worst. Some teams that will go into having pretty good odds, given what the actual strength of their schedule will be. We know that there's always a lot of turnover with playoff teams, let alone division winners. There's almost every year, at least one team that goes from worst to first. Obviously, these odds don't exactly reflect that. So, but we'll look through all those kind of things, and you can definitely see some of the hedging. Like, I don't know how I feel about the Broncos having a little bit better odds to win the AFC West than the Chargers, but that might be Aaron Rodgers related. Like you said, hopefully at some point we'll have more to talk about on that front. It's kind of gotten a lot quieter. I know he's supposed to. That was like the biggest news is that he's going to be on SportsCenter and Kenny Mayne's last appearance next week. So we'll finally get asked about it a little bit. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, a lot of, eventually we'll get into some more of the player props and those kind of things. But I feel like looking at the macro here, because there are some things maybe where this is the time to bet. I can look at kind of ways that some of these might even move over the, as we get even closer to the season. You think things are set, but still, you know, May 19th, by the time you're listening to this, May 20th, a lot can change by the time the season starts.
Yeah, so we're just having fun with it, with what we have right now. And as you mentioned, I'd love for Rodgers just to give Kenny Mayne the big final scoop there, ESPN. Just go on there and first question, like, what are your future plans in the NFL? And Rodgers comes out and said, like, he's got a Denver Broncos jersey or a Raiders jersey just right there with him. And wouldn't that be something? But in all seriousness, let's look at some of these division futures, because they are pretty fascinating with some of them. But we're probably going to start, we'll go to the AFC first, and then we'll get to the NFC. Let's start with the AFC East. The Bills currently the favorites, as you would expect, minus 145 on the board right now at BetOnline. Dolphins plus 350, Patriots plus 350, Jets plus 1400. Dylan, I don't think any of us are going to be betting on the Jets, so I think that's a safe bet. But I do think there is some intrigue here when it comes to the Dolphins and the Patriots. I think the Bills are clearly the best team of the division, but I don't know. Like there's just something that where I don't know exactly how this division unfolds. I mean, I think we're more curious than anything when it comes to the Patriots and Dolphins, just given their offseason additions. But I don't know if that's terrible value there at +350 for either one of those. I mean, I think for most people that maybe turns to the Patriots a bit more than the Dolphins, just because, as we said, we've joked about it being Belichick's revenge tour. But Bills overall, top to bottom, offense, defense, they're the best team. I think they're going to win it, but I can't say that if you're just going to throw out, you know, a little bit of money here or there, saying if you look up and down the line at these ones we're going to go through, I can't say I would, you know, feel terrible about a bet on the Patriots here in this particular setting.
I mean, the Patriots, there's just a lot of, even though I believe they're going to bounce back quite well on defense, I think they made some good additions there and excited to see what they do. I mean, it just depends, I guess, for both of the Dolphins and Patriots about the quarterback play. I mean, yeah, we need to really see Tua, and obviously the Dolphins, I guess, could still make a trade at this point. I'm not sure if that's the case. I feel like they're probably going to see what they can do with Tua this season. Him taking a pretty big jump from finishing 26th in Football Outsiders DYAR, Cam Newton even lower at 31st. So if Mac Jones comes in and, you know, sometime in the middle of the season starts playing really well, that's one thing. I look at always strength of schedule and these kind of things. And this year, instead of just kind of, as we kind of talked about, we usually look at the strength of schedule based on last season's records, which obviously these teams changed quite a bit. I like what Warren Sharp and their website, Sharp Football Analysis, did in terms of looking at the forecasted win totals and ranking the schedules based on that. In that case, the Dolphins have easily the easiest schedule here at fourth. And this division, fourth easiest schedule though in the entire NFL. The Bills not too far behind in ninth. Jets and Pats in the middle of the pack. So yeah, like you said, the Jets, as much as I'm intrigued to watch them, it's just from they're a long way away from contending in this division. There's clearly three teams above them at this point. And the Bills, I have so much confidence in them. Obviously, after what they did last season, I only think Josh Allen's connection with all of his receivers and Stephon Diggs and that coaching staff, we thought that Brian Daboll might get taken away. He ends up staying. I think that continuity makes Buffalo an easy pick at this point. It's really early again, but in terms of if you're going to make a bet, I want a little better odds. Like the +350 is solid, but I'm like, give me like a +400 or +450 for maybe the Dolphins or Pats. Then I might bite on putting a little money on that. Just Miami. Maybe it's the schedule, but I have a lot of confidence in what they're able to do, even without, you know, Fitzpatrick played well, but not exactly fantastic quarterback play and still a 10-6 football team. With some tough games last year, I think they could be an interesting one to possibly, you know, take that jump. And if, as we know, in the longer season, injuries could play a big part. And the Dolphins maybe are a team that I would consider a bit more. I'm not sure with the Pats until I see Mac Jones. I think they're going to compete for a wild card berth, but I just don't know about picking them to be like a 11-6, 12-5 kind of team at this point, whereas I could see Miami winning one or two more games.
Yeah, either way, there's some intrigue there with both of those, I think, in different areas. But yeah, don't bet on the Jets. That's probably not advisable in this scenario, but we'll see. Let's just jump to the AFC West, because I don't think we're going to spend much time on this one. Like, the Chiefs are at -250, the Broncos +400, the Chargers +600, Raiders +900. I think the reasoning is pretty simple here. Why the Broncos are +400, I think you have to believe, is just the thought that Aaron Rodgers could be their quarterback. Otherwise, I don't think that number is as low as it is. The Chiefs at -250, I'm not picking anyone else to win this division, and I think this is pretty straightforward that even if the Broncos were to get Aaron Rodgers, the Chiefs are still the pick here, and I think it's pretty basic arithmetic when it comes to figuring out how they get to that point to win this division.
Yeah, I as much as we'll go through this, maybe I know that most Super Bowl odds, the Bucks are even higher than the Chiefs, and depending on where you look, just because of the path in the NFC is easier in terms of who, like, we can get to that kind of conversation. Who's really the second, third biggest threat to Tampa Bay at this point? But in the AFC, the Chiefs in their division, at least, clear-cut favorite. It's, again, you'd have to see things with injuries. I guess the Chargers in 2018 almost beat them out for the division. I think they both went 12-4 that year. Obviously, a different Charger team. Excited to see what the Chargers can do. Like you're saying with the Broncos, that plus 400 looks weird, but if they do get Rodgers, and it, by all accounts, they are the favorite if he does get traded to get him. They have the second easiest schedule based on the forecasted win totals in the entire NFL, only behind the 49ers. So, I mean, that helps a bit. Obviously, facing Mahomes twice a year does not. And just, I mean, the Chiefs, as much as maybe, you know, they have some concerns with the depth in their secondary. They played really well last year with some guys that they picked up for cheap. Obviously, if they fix up the offensive line well enough, I know that they can outscore pretty much anyone no matter how many points they give up. We saw that in 2018 quite a few times. So they're, like you said, not really a – it's more of a – the intrigue starts with who might be a wild card team for me in this division, not who's going to be winning it.
Yep, I think that is the case. So if you're betting on an AFC West division future, I don't think it would be smart. Unless you just want to throw a flyer out there on the Broncos again, if you're doing it with the hope that this number only probably gets better potentially if they do get Aaron Rodgers. So that is something to keep in mind. So if you feel strongly that that's a possibility, and or you just want to throw around a few bucks or whatever, I don't think it's a bad idea to at least consider that. Because again, that number is only going to get better if you know, he does wind up there. So that's something to keep in mind. Let's go to the AFC North, because this one's a bit more maybe hard to predict. And the betting views kind of go along with that. The Ravens, plus 135. The Browns, plus 145. The Steelers, plus 380. Bengals, plus 1,400. So we're obviously not factoring the Bengals into this conversation. But, I mean, the Ravens and Browns is the two favorites here. Not a surprise, I think, based on last season. The Steelers being a little bit further behind, maybe to the point that they are right now, that is something that I thought was a little bit glaring. Maybe just, I mean, that's another one where I think probably in my mind, the value there, the number only gets better, meaning that, you know, this is probably a sort of a scenario where if you're going to get it, now is probably the time to do it. Because I think their number probably only improves. I may be wrong unless there's an injury. So that's the thing too. Like, right, we don't know if injuries and all that are going to, like, you have no clue. You're basically just throwing money here and just betting and hoping on anything. Like, normal circumstances is kind of what we're looking at here. So, but nonetheless, I mean, this is an interesting one because you're winning. I mean, you're getting money back either way here on the Ravens or the Browns because, you know, they're not actual favorites here. Mm-hmm. They're plus money. So that's one where there's certainly value here if you feel strongly one way or the other about the Ravens or the Browns.
Yeah, two teams that I get why they're at the top. I know the Steelers obviously won the division last year, but as we saw over the last part of the season, some of the issues that we had with Pittsburgh started coming to fruition. They did not play particularly well against winning football teams. Their offensive line, I'm still not convinced that it got necessarily fixed up this offseason. And just the strength of the Ravens and Browns is just so high. Another part for the Steelers, that their schedule is one that no matter if you look at based on last year's records for their opponents or the expected win totals, they're near the toughest schedule, actually the toughest schedule based on last year's records, the second toughest based on expected records. So that part for Pittsburgh does not make it any easier for them. Obviously facing these two teams a couple times. Now the Browns have gotten over that hump and, you know, not just the week 17 game where Pittsburgh was sitting everyone, but actually beating them in the playoffs too. And the thing about the Browns is, like, they had, I feel like every weakness that I thought that they had has been addressed and addressed well. I think they have a lot more leadership on defense. You get a guy that was calling all the plays for the Rams defense and John Johnson, but beyond him, just draft, they nailed all their other needs, in my opinion. The offensive line was still really stout, and just another year with Baker and Stefanski together, get a little healthier too with the receiving corps. The Browns are a team that, and they have the third easiest schedule based on forecasted win totals. Ravens down at 23rd, so a tougher schedule. That's maybe one edge to look at, but Baltimore, it's like, it's hard to look at what happened with the Ravens and not feel confident what they were able to do over the last part of the season. I understand, I guess, the gap. This is one where there's some teams, we'll get to some other divisions where I look at one, I'll just say now that with Seattle being the third favorite, I maybe would be being a little frisky with that one in terms of being like, man, a division winner last year that should maybe be respected a bit more. But with Pittsburgh, I get based on some of the factors in terms of the rosters, but also the schedule, why to me they are at this point. I look at the Ravens and Browns based on who they have to face and where their rosters are going. I do feel a little bit better about both those teams.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, I think, to see how that plays out. But like I mentioned, if you if you have any sort of, you know, confidence in the Steelers, I think it's not a bad idea to consider it, just based on knowing that that number is pretty high in comparison to the other two right now. And again, the thinking that potentially that number is only going to get, you know, better from an odd standpoint, meaning that, you know, for a value, it's going to be probably as good as it could be right now. So that's going to be one I think we have an eye on when you look at these division futures with the AFC North, because you do have some teams that feel pretty lumped together there in terms of how that could unfold. That brings us to the division of the podcast, our brand, the AFC South, and I'll just tell you up front, I'm not betting any of these because there's no way. I feel great about where these are at right now. The Colts, currently the betting favorite to win the AFC South at minus 105, so not a huge favorite. Titans plus 150, Jags plus 550. The Texans have the worst odds of any team in the NFL when it comes to winning their division at this point, plus 2,200. And again, that it's not even close. Like, there's only one other team that's even anywhere near that range, but even they are still considerably ahead of the Texans, and we'll get to them in a minute. But I don't know about this. Like, this is a weird one to me because I don't think the Jags are in the conversation. I think it's the Colts or the Titans. I would be surprised, but I just, you know how this works. Like, I don't trust the Colts or the Titans. So it's very hard for me to look ahead right now and think, okay, if I'm going to be someone that likes to bet these division futures, I want to do it on teams that I feel really confident about right now. And it may work out. It may not. They could have an injury. Things may not go their way. But I don't feel that way about the Colts or the Titans. This is one of those. No. I'm like, if I'm going to bet the AFC South, I'm going to do it 5 minutes before week one starts. Like, I'm not going to do it right now because I have no idea what either of these teams look like next season.
Yeah, you want all the information that you can possibly get, like you're saying, because I do feel pretty good that it's going to be one of those two teams at the top between the Colts and Titans. Obviously, we've beaten to death the story of the Texans' demise from, you know, a couple of years ago, almost making the AFC title game to where they are. And the Jaguars, as much as I'm, again, intrigued, maybe like the Jets in terms of seeing the rookie quarterback, the new coaching staff and all these things, what they're going to be able to do and how what it all looks like at the end of the day. They are not a team I'm considering in this race. But then between these two favorites, it's there's a lot of uncertainty. That's the reason why we want to wait till the end of the offseason before looking at this, because I mean, the Colts, they still have a balanced roster, finished seventh in defensive DVOA, added some pieces which could help on that side of the ball. They've kept their coaching staff intact. So there's reasons for that. And I, you know, was bullish on them last year, end up, you know, coming really close to upsetting the Bills in that wild card game. But at this point, it's just such an uncertainty. It's a lot of faith in Carson Wentz, man. It's like this guy was, obviously he was playing at an MVP level only 4 years ago, but he was also playing at a bottom. You know, he's the worst out of qualifying quarterbacks, the worst quarterback in DYAR from Football Outsiders, behind Sam Darnold, Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith, Daniel Jones. It's pretty. I mean, he was awful. So you're putting any faith that he's at least going to be back towards somewhere where, you know, where we saw with Philip Rivers last year, who finished middle of the pack, 13th in the same stat in terms of what he's able to control in the field. I mean, that was respectable, about as good as you could have hoped for Philip. So man, that's a huge jump. But the Titans, I guess at the same point, it's like, I'd be like, well, I for sure think the Titans have more stability, but man, they've lost a lot of guys, as we've talked about off, I guess on offense, a lot of their key players are still there. Like, I know Corey Davis is gone, but it's not like, you know, they have at least the key big three there with Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and AJ Brown. And, I guess that could be sustainable. I know they lose Arthur Smith, but at least you have those guys in place where, on offense, I feel decent about them. I just don't – I mean, they were pretty bad on defense by the end of the year, 29th in DVOA. I do not know how much better they got there. But it's – like you said, this is a – this division, I mean, it has a chance to be – like, how many wins do you think is going to take to get there? I mean, it might be 9-8 is probably, like, maybe enough to win it. I don't know. Like, one of these teams could end up benefiting from the fact they get to face – their opponents six times in the division. I guess that does help their record jump up a bit, but not exactly the easiest one to pick. It's honestly, I'd just say do a coin flip at this point if you're going to bet, but I'd probably wait, like you mentioned, until the season starts. This isn't like some of these other cases where you should jump on the odds now.
I think the Jags are the most intriguing team in this division, and they're the team right now that's third. So that tells you what I think about the top two. Again, I'm not saying the Jags are going to win the division. I just think they're the most intriguing because of the possible ranges, I think. Like, I don't view the Colts or the Titans as Super Bowl contenders in any way. I don't view the Jags as a Super Bowl contender, but I'm like, if everything comes together for the Jags and Trevor Lawrence is fantastic and you've got a new offense and, you know, you try to plug in some holes on defense, maybe it's much more competitive than we think. So that's why, to me, I just don't think there's any value right now in doing any sort of outlook on this division because it's just too many unknowns, I think, at this point. But let's jump to an easy one as we go to the NFC. The NFC South, which that's interesting to think. That's sort of an easy one. But that's where you have the defending Super Bowl champions, the Bucs, currently -175 favorites. The Saints +325, Falcons +600, Panthers +1,000. I don't think there's any debate about this one, do you? I mean, I feel like it's pretty clear cut. The Saints, I feel like we're probably expecting to drop off a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to be a bad team, but I don't think that they're going to be on the level of the Bucs, and I certainly can't say the same thing for the Falcons or the Panthers either. So
I don't like those odds for the Saints at all. Like, if I'm going to be betting on them, they need to be much better for me for the return than the was it 325. That's no.
No.
I'm sorry. Like, it'll be interesting to see what they do, but they're a team that has similar to the Rams in terms of the middle class of their team being squeezed out by the cap falling off. I mean, there's a lot of guys that they have that are really talented, but beyond they did lose some of that depth. Plus, obviously, we don't know exactly what to expect from Jameis under center, Taysom Hill under center. It's going to be an interesting time there in New Orleans, and another team that, in terms of the schedule, 26th based on expected records, whereas Tampa Bay has one of the easiest schedules in the entire NFL. Just getting that. Finishing second in that division last year for Tampa really ends up helping them a lot this year with their matchups out of the division, not the extra 17th game, but also the games outside and the other two NFC divisions that they play. So I really helped their schedule there. Obviously, Tampa Bay, just the continuity. And you looked at by like week 10 on, Tom Brady was putting up MVP caliber numbers once he really got the offense down. They have all that stability, only more talent, more years in the system where he's finally learning it completely. So, man, it's an easy of a pick. And again, we'll go over it maybe at the end of all these NFC divisions. But I right now I'm having a hard time deciding on who my second NFC favorite to make the Super Bowl is. I really don't know. And that really is because of the Aaron Rodgers uncertainty. It would be the Packers if we knew he was going to be there. But man, if he's not there, it gets weird really quick.
It does. And the odds reflect that. As you said, we're going to get into it. I think right now, even at -175, I would bet the Bucs right now. Like, I know you're putting some risk there, but I just feel like that confident that they're going to win this thing. And again, I don't know that that number doesn't get much more, much worse from a betting standpoint. So, so that's something to consider there. With that one, seems like a layup in terms of who could win the NFC South. Let's go to the NFC North. You just mentioned, the Aaron Rodgers situation. And the Packers right now, -140, they're the favorites to win this thing. Vikings +260, the Bears +325, the Lions +1600. I'm going to give you one right now. That I am 100% confident on. There is no way I am touching the Chicago Bears at +325.
Oh,
what a number that is. You want to talk about bettors having some faith in Justin Fields? I do too, but there is but look, hold on. I say that I'm saying this as of right now. Now, I think the reason why these numbers are where they are goes back to what we just said about the Broncos. It is that hint that how quickly those numbers could change for the Vikings and the Bears if Aaron Rodgers is traded. That's why I'm certainly not doing anything on the Packers front right now, because even at -140, there's not a ton of risk there, but I don't want any part of that, period. Because then you get into, even if he does come back, I just think there are some things that are not going to work. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, you just feel like it's setting up for one of those seasons that even if he's there, it could be really, really weird for how the Packers season goes. So I want no part of the Packers, but I can see why the Bears and the Vikings are where they are. But if I'm touching one of those, I'm going the Vikings route versus the Bears route because I think that Bears one, I don't know. I don't see them making that leap to being the team that wins this division. So
I really hope there'd be a little better odds there too, because I want to think the Bears would have a chance, given that, you know, during the last 3 years, all of Matt Nagy's years in his career, despite all the things we've said about the Bears, they have gone 8-8 the last two seasons with really bad quarterback play. Yeah. If Justin Fields brings it to a different level, the defense rebounded a bit from 2019 last season. I still have confidence. I like the hire they made a defensive coordinator. One of the Fangio disciples of blank on the name, Sean Desai. Yeah. Like everything that he said about what they're trying to do reminds me a bit of Brandon Staley coming into the Rams. It's obviously a very different roster, but I would be intrigued by the Bears. If again, the odds, like you said, they're just a little too high. Like it's like they're jumping on the optimism, I think, of all Bears fans right now. And everyone wants to bet on their team and those kind of things. So you do kind of play to the hype a bit. But I honestly do feel like I won't be shocked if they, because the Vikings are very much as that you feel like if the Packers do trade Aaron Rodgers, they become the favorite. But not by like a lot. Like the Bears have played them pretty well overall. The Green Bay thing, even I think because of those, the Vikings and Bears maybe not exactly being like, this is our kind of year to make that kind of jump back. Maybe I'd still feel good about the Packers if Aaron's there, even with all the drama possibly going down behind the scenes. I just think they have enough talent, and I don't think he's going to, if he's playing, taking the field for the Packers, I don't think Aaron's going to purposely like just be nonchalant. I think he's going to, if anything, try to go out on top before, you know, demanding a trade again. So we'll see about what happens there. I just, the Bears, it's, I don't know. Like, I just think like you look at the quarterback play that they've had, and I guess it does depend on how quickly they move on to Justin Fields from Andy Dalton. I hope it's quick because I think the urgency that the coaching in the front office, maybe they did buy themselves more than just 1 year because of they want to see how this all pans out. But I do think there's going to be some urgency to get him on the field, especially if he's – I don't think it's going to – it's not like this is Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, and that's a common kind of equivalence that I've seen a lot of people on podcasts and on Twitter make about the situation in terms of like a possible starting quarterback and then a placeholder guy that, you know, in the case of the Chiefs, like it worked out great with Alex Smith, but who knows if Mahomes was inserted in at the end of that 2017 season, maybe the Chiefs don't lose to the Titans in the first round. Maybe they actually make another run given how good apparently he looked in practice. So, I mean, I don't think the Bears are in that case. Like, I don't think we're seeing Andy Dalton playing anywhere close to what Alex Smith was doing that year. I think if Justin Fields looks superb in practice and he's clearly the better option, I don't think the Bears will hesitate to put him in. At least I hope not. And they become a team that I just want those odds to look a little bit better. I want it to be like confirmed that Aaron's staying, but then it's also like you're worried about that drama and then the odds for the Bears drop. Then I might just kind of put a little bit on it just because it is fun too to see what's going to happen in Chicago. Maybe I'm sleeping a bit on the Vikings. I like Kirk Cousins a lot. It's just they're, and they did, again, they keep nailing these drafts in my opinion, but it's a lot of, they might have two rookies starting on the left side of the offensive line. If they do not both immediately succeed, Kirk Cousins is a guy that with the blind side not being safe, it does not usually end up looking too good for Minnesota.
I was going to say I think I would like the Vikings right now, but then I just pulled up the schedule. I don't love their schedule at all. Like, I think their schedule is pretty tough because they get the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
And
this whole division gets kind of...
Yeah, so and I think they run into the problem where
the AFC North.
They also get the AFC North, and they get the Cowboys. I'm trying to see what the other teams are that they get that are outside of those. Let's see, who is it? I don't know, but it's not easy. So I think that's one of the issues I think I have with the Vikings right now. Although I guess they do get, you know, they get the Bengals and the Panthers. So those are two teams that are probably considered lower outside of, you know, the range of teams. I don't know. But that's the only hesitancy I have with the Vikings is I think certainly if Aaron Rodgers gets traded, the Vikings number is going to go from plus 260 to probably the favorite, maybe. So if you look at it that way, like that's the thing to consider. So it's like if you're going to pull a bet here on one of these teams, I don't know the Vikings are the worst pick just because their number could go from plus 260 to, you know, minus 105 or something if Rodgers is traded. So I think that's I don't know. This is one I'm probably staying away from this one.
I'd stay away. The thing is, like, if you're confident, again, like, it kind of goes to your Broncos one. Like, if you really do think the Packers are going to trade Aaron Rodgers, and it is the time, I guess, to jump on the Vikings or Bears, because their odds are only going to get worse for you if that happens.
Don't jump on the Lions.
The Vikings were a better than 7-9 in my opinion last year. They lost some weird games.
Yeah.
And that's the thing again about. If you compare offense to defense, usually offense is more consistent year to year in terms of where they rank in DVOA compared to defense, where it can tend to fluctuate. It's a bit harder to know based on so many different factors that hold into it. So I guess, I mean, they have some really great weapons, obviously, in Minnesota. There's reason to believe they'll be a solid team that's right in that 10-7 range. I think maybe this would be a decent time for Minnesota. Maybe I'm just more excited about what could be with Justin Fields, but maybe it won't end up working out too well for the Bears. We'll see.
All right. We finish with the two most intriguing races, I think, on the board. Let's go to the NFC East first. The Cowboys, +130. Washington, +200. Giants, +400. The Eagles, +650. Listen, I know the Eagles are in a bit of a transition, but I think the Cowboys are the easy bet here to me. But maybe Washington. I think there's value. I'm not going to lie to you.
Last year,
I think there's value on everyone here. Like, I don't even know how you come to that conclusion, but I think there's a lot of value here, I think, on everyone. Because the Cowboys, to me, are the favorite. But they are right now at +130. So they don't have, you know, they're not minus. They're plus money here. So Washington +200, I don't think is bad at all, because I feel like Washington maybe, you don't know about the quarterback situation. But like the Giants, I could see the Giants making a big leap, but I don't know. Boy, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. Well, I mean, we know what we're talking about here. We're talking about the NFC East, but I look at them like, are the Eagles going to be that bad to where their numbers should be +650 in this division? I don't know. I think right now, there is some good value in here. I think it's just, you got to pick and choose, which, like you just said, you got to know which teams you feel strongly about, because I think you're getting some decent value either way on a lot of these. I still think the Cowboys at +130 are a pretty decent choice, just based on the fact that they, you know, are at plus money still at this point. I feel like they're going to be the team to beat this division. But you know what? I don't think it's a bad one. Even at only +200, I think Washington is another one where it's like, I don't hate that at all either. Because, you know, for me, I want to focus on the plus money at this point. Like, I want to be like, okay, if I'm going to throw this away, I'm going to risk getting more. I mean, I'm risk getting more back in the situation. I don't hate either one of those two. But like I said, I don't. Something about the Giants, man. Like, they really upgraded offensively. The defense is what you don't know about. But I just think this is a fascinating situation here in terms of where these odds are at right now.
The thing for me that is, I guess like you're saying, like all of them have some value in terms of where they are. I look at it as like there's one team that has clearly the best quarterback, and it's the Cowboys. And it's like if without him getting injured with that serious injury last year with Dak, like, they probably still would have won the division, in my opinion, despite all of the other issues they had if he was playing. So, I mean, that goes for any, like, we say all these teams, like, the Chiefs are for sure going to win this division, the Bills, and it's like, if their quarterback gets injured for the year, it changes everything. And I think that these odds would look a lot different if Dak had never got hurt. I do know Washington's defense scares me, and I love watching them. I do know their offense was finished last in DVOA last year, so they still won the division.
Yeah.
It's just those kind of things. On defense, as much as I still believe in what Washington has there, it's not as, again, easy to just be a top three defense every single season. Whereas I just see with Dak on the field, the weapons Dallas has, like, they're going to win some games. I still feel better about them, and that's why they are the favorite, I guess. The Giants, as you mentioned, I'm not completely sold on Daniel Jones long term. Obviously, they like you mentioned, they make some upgrades. They have some more weapons. Their offensive line is getting better. They still kept Patrick Graham, a defensive coordinator, another team that really improved on that side of the ball. They're intriguing to me at +400, but I still just, it's hard for me to like pick against Dak just because of the quarterback. It's just like the other quarterbacks in this division, like. I don't really feel confident in Daniel Jones. I'd like to see a lot more from Jalen Hurts before making a determination. And then Washington's such a wild card. I guess, like, if Fitzpatrick just plays amazing, like, if he just continues to be who he was in Miami, then that gets a little more interesting. Based on what they have some fun offensive players, obviously, Dyami Brown in the draft, but also signing Curtis Samuel, getting him back with some of those coaches from Carolina. It should be interesting for sure. Those two, I understand why they're the favorites, but I just, at the end of the day, it comes down to quarterbacks for me, even with all the other issues Dallas has had. And I think if Dak stays healthy, the Cowboys are, I think they should win the division, even with all the other issues they have.
Yep, I'm probably putting some money on the Cowboys right now. I think that they're, even, because again, I think their Cowboys odds only get better. So that's the way I look at it, and I'm thinking, all right, Cowboys may be a play here. Even though, like I said, I'm intrigued just because having NFC East as the label on this division is automatically it's going to be chaos. So I'm at least intrigued by everyone else knowing that there's probably going to be some chaos in this division. But we wrap up with what I think is, and from a betting standpoint, is the hardest to predict in the NFL going into next season. No surprise. The NFC West, which this is fascinating. The Rams +200, Niners +200, Seahawks +300, Cardinals +425. I mean, that's almost as close as it can get when you're talking about trying to, figure out how to bet a division. I mean, this is something here because I'll be honest with you. I think the one that I feel like I don't love in terms of the value, it's the Niners. Like, I don't know that, man, because, right? Like,
I'm so bullish on them, and I shouldn't be as a Rams fan, but.
I just, listen, the quarterback situation to me, I'm not sure about. Like, I don't know how that plays out. Even with Jimmy G, like, I don't know how that plays out. So I don't love that from that standpoint. Man, but it's like, or let's do this. Do you think the Cardinals have a shot at winning the division?
I think they have a shot. I think that's why they're an intriguing one in terms of, like, if everything. I would like their odds to be a little better. Again, this, saying this, like the +425. I'm like, that should be like 550, and then maybe I would do something about it because everyone is going to beat up each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they have a shot, but they do have, based on the projected forecast of win totals, they have the toughest schedule here. And there's a reason for it. It's because they have to play those other three teams twice.
I think the Rams are the favorite. I agree with that. I'm kind of with you on the Cardinals. I'm thinking it's interesting to see them sitting there, and it's like, you're still, if it works, you're getting paid out, quadruple the money, and it works out fine for you. But I don't love them enough, I think, to go that route just yet. To me, the Rams are the favorite. I don't know why I'm the Niners. I don't know what it is. I'm just not. I'm not there yet on the Niners. I'm not sure why, but I don't think I'm there yet on them. I think the Rams, to me, are the pick right now. This is one where, as you can tell, like, I'm probably staying away from betting any of these at the moment because it's just the numbers are too close together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Rams are what I would, if I was going to, I think the Rams make sense at that range. But I think this is one of those where these numbers are going to fluctuate so much that it's really hard to know where to go here in May versus when the season kicks off and what those numbers are going to be in September.
Yeah. I mean, I get, like you're saying, I would not place the bet now, but if you gave me $100 and said, you have to bet on one of these teams right now, who'd you do? I'd probably just do Seattle based on the quarterback play. I know it's a really simplistic way to put it, but that kind of is what happened last year. And the fact that they still have a lot of question marks, but there's a lot of things that Russell Wilson can do to get you out of those situations. I would think about both. I mean, the Rams, as much as I'm excited for this season and excited to see what they can do with Jared Goff, again, they didn't make any additions to the offensive line. I don't know how much that hurts them this year, but in the future, I could see it hurting them. It really, that chemistry between McVay and Stafford has to develop quickly. I think that's what them getting that on track, getting Stafford, you know, adapting some of the things he did well in Detroit, taking on what McVay has done well and making it all blend together will be key. Because I don't expect the Rams to finish, you know, as a number one, at least in traditional stats, defense, fourth in DVOA. Again, they as much as they have a lot of talented guys, they lost a lot of really important players at every level of the roster. On their defense that I, you know, there's guys I'm intrigued about, guys that got injured. There were young players last season, some of the safeties that are going to have to step up. This year, obviously, Jordan Fuller really was great. Terrell Burgess, before he got hurt, was really solid. They have guys that are ready to fill those roles, but I just, the offense has to take a jump from last year because the defense, I just don't think it's going to be as dominant, no matter if it's still a good defense. It's hard for me to say they're the favorite, though, because, again, it's just all three of these, it's such an even part, and that's also partly why I would, if I had to, make a bet on Seattle, because they have the best odds, and I really think it's a 33% chance almost for each of these teams. Again, the Cardinals a little sneaky, but the odds I don't love where they are. I think they need to be a little lower for me to take that bet. San Francisco has, easily, based on forecasted win totals, the easiest schedule in the NFL. So that is something that
that's
I would take into account. They also, I mean, the different opponents, I forget who exactly they are, but different than the Rams in Seattle, just because they finished down there at the bottom of the division, really helped them. In this case, they obviously had all those injuries. And when Jimmy Garoppolo has been healthy, they've been a pretty good offense. And the thing is, maybe I'd feel better about them if they had a guy that I feel like in Justin Fields in year one can like just jump on the field and probably look really good in the Kyle Shanahan offense. I think Trey Lance might have a higher ceiling eventually if they really unlock everything he can possibly do, but maybe not immediately. And that's the part that scares me. I'm like, if the Niners, if Jimmy continues to struggle with injuries, how ready is Trey to just get thrown into the fire there immediately? Maybe he'll be great. And I, you know, maybe all that potential will be unlocked quickly, but that's part of it that is concerning. Just, and they also, their corner depth, I know they kept a lot of their corners from last year, but they're relying a lot on some guys like Jason Verrett to stay healthy. I don't know how that's going to really pan out. Also, we haven't seen this defense without Robert Saleh. Now he's gone. And I know there's the same thing happened with the Rams with Brandon Staley. So that there's some more uncertainty with the Rams and Niners, I guess, for me, which is, even though Seattle, every year I feel like we're kind of like, eh, the roster could be definitely better. But then Russell Wilson just finds a way to win 10, 11 games and win a division. So it's, like you said, the hardest one to pick at this point in my mind. I think you have potentially, again, I mean, last year, I guess they only ended up having two playoff teams, easily could have had three. I think you could see it if some of these guys stay healthy, three playoff teams from the NFC West. Because again, I mean, there's a reason that then you look at the total NFC odds. The Rams and Niners are tied for the second highest odds in the NFC to make the Super Bowl. That's crazy. Even with the Packers stuff, I'm like, I think those two teams can be solid, but then I can't really make a great argument for anyone else to be above them. Maybe Seattle should be even in my mind, but I can't really make a good argument for anyone else to be above them in the NFC other than the Packers if Aaron's there.
Thanks, but no thanks on this division right now from a betting standpoint. I don't want any part of it in terms of I just don't know that there's enough value on any of them because I'm just too undecided on who's going to win this thing. So there you go. There's a look at the all the division futures as they stand right now. I think the worst bet on the board is very easily the Texans at +2200. The best on the board, I think it's the Cowboys +130. I know you're not getting a ton there, but I think the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC East. But look, you're talking to the guy who picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl last year. So, and we saw how that turned out. So I'm not a Cowboys fan. I think they should be very good. So I think the Cowboys probably for me the best, just in terms, like I said, I'm gonna lean towards the plus money at this point. Vikings I would put as maybe a sneaky second, although I would like that number to be higher though. I think at +260. I'd love them to be in the bear spot at like +325. Then maybe I feel a little bit better about it. So I think that's where I stand on those right now. So I don't think Dylan's betting on the Texans either. So
the weirdest division in terms of like if, and I obviously don't hope anything like this happens, really would love every quarterback to stay healthy, but out of the divisions where the weirdest one, if like the top quarterback got hurt, is the NFC South. I'd almost think the Falcons would have a shot.
Yeah, true.
Like, if everything kind of comes together with Carolina quickly, they have a lot of interesting guys and coaches. So, man, that's a division where I don't think the Saints, in my mind, should be the second highest team. I have a lot of questions, I guess. But After that, like you're saying, the best plus bets, I mean, maybe the Titans, but that's like I don't have a ton of certainty there outside of the ones you already said. Like, yeah, the Cowboys and the Vikings for me are probably two of the safer ones. They're obviously not that huge of in the plus territory. The Bears, I'd like it to be a bit better, and then I would probably say them. And see, I think Seattle's still not a terrible one. And there's some books where I think I was looking at Sports Betting Dime. They had some DraftKings odds, and I think it was plus 350 for Seattle. So there's some, depending on where you look, right, you might be able to find some better better odds. And obviously, definitely do your scouting before just laying down any on any site. Make sure you find the site that gives you the best chance.
Yeah, well, if you're betting on the Falcons, I hope you have a big bankroll, because otherwise, don't put it all on the Falcons.
Yeah, their defense is going to be... Bad.
No, but I agree
really
with you. Like,
to watch their offense with Arthur Smith and the talent that they have.
That's a flyer. Like, you're going to put, if you put out a couple flyers, like, that's one that would make sense. As I mentioned, with like the Patriots or the Dolphins or teams like that, potentially. Or, you know, if you feel confident about the Steelers, they're at plus three. You know what I mean? Like, those are ones you really kind of look at and say, all right, if I know I'm probably not winning this one, but I'm still okay just to take that chance. Again, you're going to do that on teams like that versus probably, you know, the Raiders or the, you know, Texans or teams like that. So, yes, that is worth considering. And as you said, it is important to know that, yes, you could probably find better odds on some of these elsewhere. So you have to shop around to get the best ones, especially if you're doing division of futures. Like, that's a very important aspect, because value is everything when it comes to those. So there you go. There are some early thoughts, which I'm sure, you know, a big trade will happen and there will be injuries, and we'll completely change our minds on these a month from now. But that's where it stands right now. But Dylan, we got everything covered off season wise over Clutch Points. I know NBA playoffs yes. Now also about to get into full swing. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, on ClutchPoints.com and the NFL section, you can still read. We still have a lot of draft fallout coverage. We're starting to look more at also the breakout players potentially for each team in the NFL, obviously covering all the news and rumors. Hopefully there'll be a bit more coming up here. As we mentioned, not a ton happening on the news front for the NFL, but plenty on the NBA side. Yeah, with the play-in games and the playoffs starting this weekend, you can follow all those games in the ClutchPoints app. We have all the in-depth coverage on our website. Obviously, MLB games, too, you can follow in the app, and coverage on the website. A lot of betting previews for baseball now, in addition to every single playoff game for the NBA. So for those, if you just search NBA odds and or MLB odds on the website, you can find all that. And, yeah, hopefully we get some more news by next week. But otherwise, we can always stick to the betting angle here.
Somebody trade somebody. That's all we ask. Yes, check everything
not for
out.
Not a six-round pick. Either. Yes. Not like some minor trade.
give us something significant on the trade front. Yeah, check everything out at Clutch Points. It's all there. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, you can find us on there. And thank you, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire for all they do. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.